Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Monday, Tuesday, hump day is halfway.
It's Mike Shope.
Mike. What day is it, Mike?
And the Bulldog.
Hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on, I know you can hear me.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
On WGR.
Hump day!
Sports Radio 550.
Gonna be there in an hour.
Hi there, going it alone today. Bulldog didn't make it. He succumbed to coughs and chills and who knows what else. No official word. Like Lindy Ruff today, I really can't give you an update. How funny but not funny is it to Ruff to have his first on-ice practice with the Sabres in, well, what is it? I guess I should know, 11 years, whatever it is. And he's got, listen, guys, he passed the puck and he left. That's the first update. Poor Lindy. The first update he has to give, the first question probably, right? Wouldn't that have been the first question? I don't know. I'll talk to Paul later. Is Rasmus Dahlin, he passed the puck and he felt something. Wouldn't you rather have heard like that he just got blasted and, you know, we took him off the ice because, well, he was suffering and we felt that that was precautionary, that was right to do. But no, it's like these are the ones that scare you when it's just like, oh. So we'll talk to Paul later and see what he knows. But just like the Sabres, you know, there is not, it's like last year, I think. I don't know, maybe even this year's level of optimism with fans might surpass last year's. Last year at this time, they had come off a season under Don Granato, where they had missed the playoffs by 1 point. Of course, that makes that the closest they had been since making it in 2011. You know, some of you can't remember the last time the Sabres, some of you do not remember, have no recollection of the last time the Sabres ever being in the playoffs. You know, teenagers would not remember that. So 22-23, 1 point out, and last summer, I mean, it was, what were we talking about? It was, can Devon Levi handle a number one goalie position in the NHL right out of college? Like young college, like Barrasso almost, who was in high school. That's a long time ago. But just, this was the kind of thing that is just about unprecedented. But if it happened, the Sabres looked like the kind of team that could be even really good. So I think I would say, as I remember it and think about it now, last year it was exciting to look forward to the season. You know, most everybody that mattered was back. They didn't have, you know, well, just whatever. Like they were not coming from the bottom and you're just sort of trying to talk yourself into a good season. 2 years ago, we would have considered that year a big step forward, going from what they were to 1 point away from the playoffs. You know, some optimism. I, like I say all the time, and this is how I operate, what do the betting markets say? And the betting markets did not really share that optimism for the Sabres, whether it was because of goaltending or just whatever. It would have been everything put together. And it was more just like, I remember last year at times being like, I don't want to be like this, but, you know, their over-under for points is 80-something, and it's not unanimous here. We talked to, you know, probably Greg Wyshynski, Travis Yost, other guests. It was definitely not even considered likely that the Sabres would make that step. But it was possible. So young, a lot of talent, it was possible. So this year, I think it's both. It's Lindy Ruff being back brings, you know, it's the feels. And I'm subject to that, I admit it. And I'm not usually here for the feels. But I am, as a fan, desperately hoping for anything that makes me really like this again. This is a chance worth taking. So I'm in. I think he's credible enough, and it feels good, and I'm here for it. But roster-wise, like, it's not that different. Skinner left. It's kids again. You know, a couple of role player types. It's really not that different. You have Luukkonen's season last year, but I know better. No offense to the guy, but I know better than to lean into that. It's just not reliable enough. No matter who your goalie is, you cannot trust that position. Statistically speaking, you cannot trust that position to just sort of repeat for you. So every one of these Sabres years, well, not everyone, some of them are so desperately bad, they're not this, but several of these years, it's kind of wasted because, you know, a lot of them, 2 years ago you had the offense, but they couldn't, you know, they didn't have the goaltending, they just miss. Other years, the defense is kind of stable, they're harder to score on, but there's just nothing up top. And they have not had, I guess unless you want to say last year, they have not had a season where they got winning goaltending. You know, last year they kind of did, but still, you know, special teams, still like not even really close. So this year, I think you have some optimism for Luukkonen, some for Ruff, some for, I mean, other guys, any individual guy, Jack Quinn being healthy from the start of the season, different things. But I don't think, I guess I want to look more, but I don't think it's really reflected in the betting markets again. And listen to how it starts. Of course, Chance Dahlin is fine, and, you know, it's just something we laugh about if we even remember it. Just, like, imagine Ruff. First day, and like right immediately at practice today. Wow. Go Sabres. All right. Again, Paul, that'll be at 4:30. I've got a guest coming on from Jacksonville at 4 Eastern, and also Sal Capaccio will check in at 5 to the Bills. And I welcome your calls on this at 803-0550 this hour. I think it's just by a lot the most interesting thing right now in football is what's happened to offenses. Scoring is down, not by miles, but passing is down by miles. Running is up. And everybody in the game, you know, in media, my Twitter is like, it seems 80%. And this is fantasy guys too. Fantasy, this, I consider myself a part of that world. We want to be able to understand it. We want to know what's going on. We want to be able to explain it or at least just understand it. How is Josh Allen throwing for 139 yards? How is Justin Herbert throwing for 270 yards over two games? And they're not so atypical. How is Patrick Mahomes last in the league in average depth of target? Like, what is going on? Is it just too high safeties was all we needed to figure out as a sport to basically cancel $50 million a year quarterbacks? Does that make sense? I mean, it does to a point, but will it continue? This is the most interesting thing right now in the league, and I don't know what's second. The Bills are, so far at least, I mean, this is kind of obvious watching them, but going back to all summer of talking about it, they're kind of suited for it. You know, they have Allen as a fallback. That's so weird. I mean, why? How did it end up there? Is that over? How did it get there? Where you're the franchise quarterback that every team forever has coveted and hoped for, get lucky in the draft, trade if it's possible, whatever we've got to do, you do not exist. We have said this for more than a decade. You just do not exist in the NFL without a quarterback of this caliber. What's the point? Miami has a guy who's pretty good. He led the league in passing yards last year. I mean, he's pretty good. But nobody puts him on the top tier. And so what happens? They lose. They beat bad teams. They're okay. They make the playoffs. We've had a lot of these guys over the year, over the years. The Bills have not, for most of those drought years, the Bills really never even ascended to that level, but it was almost better. Because once you got to that, as I used to think of it, the Dalton Tannehill level, you were kind of stuck. You were good enough. You weren't irrelevant. You were good enough to compete. You were never good enough to beat the top teams or win big. So anyway, we all knew this. And here are the Bills en route to Allen. They're trading up twice in the first round. They geared up for it. They trade out the year before, which ends up being Mahomes, of course. We're not ready. New coach. He gets his GM in here after that draft. Just gearing up for it. Let's get in position so that next year, and they would have had knowledge about the quarterback class. I mean, what, five went in that first round. Next year's the year for this, and let's go. And they get to Allen, and now it seemed unlikely, but now it's possible that we can be really good. And then it happened. So you've got what you need. They've had good defenses, okay, but I could live without them. Other of these top quarterback teams don't always have good defenses. Kansas City 2 years ago didn't at all. Last year they did. They won anyway. This is how it is. You get to that quarterback and you're live for a championship. Has that changed? Is it crazy to think that maybe it has? 803-0550. I think this is the most interesting thing in the sport right now. And much of what makes it interesting is I think everybody's trying to figure it out. You know, there are different theories. We have tackled a couple of these this week. I talked to Ross Tucker about this yesterday. You've got defensive alignments. You've got not just alignment, but
explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games and a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Lighter defenses, you know, lighter guys, not so much built to stop the run. The NFL figured out that's not so important. It's not as important as it was 20, 30 years ago. So we're going to be 5-6 DBs, even at linebacker, we're going to be lighter and try to beat you that way. And it's working. It's working because teams don't really, it doesn't feel good, I think, for a lot of these teams to go back. They didn't spend $50 million a year on their running back and their offensive tackles necessarily. They spent it on their QB. So what is he, is Josh Allen a game manager now? Because there's just no way. It's not better to try to beat people, you know, through them. What you had in Allen on Thursday night in Miami, and this is a function of that the Dolphins really couldn't execute, and they turned the ball over and they kind of were done in this game by halftime. But Bulldog and I were talking about it, I guess, yesterday. And really, it's the one play Allen makes to Ty Johnson where you're like, yep, okay, that's what this guy can do. But I don't know, what's the final score if that pass is incomplete? You know, like, I say all this. I'm looking for the conversation. I say all this, sort of thinking that there's no way the league is all the way back to, game manager. Phil Simms can make a Super Bowl, win one. There's no way we're all the way back there, but we're some distance back there. And the question is, will this correct back? And I think it will. And I will tell you what the number one reason why I think that is. So some of it's not going to change. Two high safeties is not going to change. If we get to a point where teams can't really throw the ball anymore, then we'll have the NFL will do what baseball did or what basketball does. Illegal defense, ban the shift. You know, there'll be some rule against, defenses were too effective, so we're going to change the rules. I mean, that's not happening midseason. If ever. I'm not sure it'll ever happen because this sport's been pretty good at kind of the back and forth, the pendulum, offense and defense and styles. It's what makes it so interesting. I think why I would bet on, this year, passing to turn back and everything, maybe not quite to last year's extent, maybe I would say almost definitely not back to 2 or 3 years ago, the COVID year. I think the NFL, this is not to say that they're unique in this way. The NFL will not want the conversation to be about what happened to scoring, what happened to Mahomes and Allen, what happened to our game. Everything the league does in terms of rules enforcement is in favor of offense. Although this year they come out and they're calling illegal formation three times as often and they're calling illegal shifts twice as often. And so I guess that's not that. But that'll stop. Because this is what we're talking about all day now this year is scoring is down, passing is down. Fantasy, a lot of people scoff at it. Millions of people play it. And they're trying to figure out, what happened to my guys? What happened to my QB1? I mean, what is this? Why didn't I draft Derek Carr, instead? Why didn't I just draft Sam Darnold instead? Or Mayfield? Guys that were semi-relevant years ago, now they're like the most productive quarterbacks in the league. And, it's nuanced, right? It's complicated. There's different reasons for that. Coaching and I think expectations of those teams. Let's fling it. Got nothing to lose. That's Minnesota maybe. And their coach has been really good at opening up their passing game. I don't know. It's great to have this as a topic because there's so much to say about it. And I think I would like to think right now many, if not most fans are also kind of baffled. Maybe some are happy, confused. I don't know. One last point before your calls here. Like the Bills, whatever it's right to say, were they ready for it or did they anticipate it? I don't know. They played like this last year before the numbers came down so dramatically. That's why I expected this to happen when it comes to the Bills. But I'm telling you, if you told me in March this would happen, I don't know what we would have talked about all summer. Every single conversation about who leads them in catches and which receiver to draft and all of this would have been moot because, who cares? Why does anybody have to lead them in catches? Are we going to throw it at all? What's going to happen here? Again, I think it changes, but man, what a start. I'm expecting it not to last, and this should, I guess, at least in one way, be good for the Bills because they have Allen. I mean, I doubt the Saints really keep it up. I don't know. I'm not really focused on the Saints, but yeah, really interesting moment here in the NFL. Here's Nick on WGR. Hi, Nick.
Hi. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure. But
I think it's for, about 5 years ago, the NFL said the defenders couldn't hit the quarterback at all, and they couldn't touch the wide receivers on a pass route. And then last year, they started letting them hit the quarterbacks again and touch the wide receivers and bump them and push them and hit them with your arm as you're running down the field. And they're letting the defense play defense again is my big thing.
You think it'll change?
If the NFL determines they want scoring, it'll change.
they will, right?
If they want the defenders to be able to play defense, it won't.
Yeah, that's interesting. I guess I can't say that I've noticed that. I'd want to look at data on that, you know, whether that's – I don't think penalties-wise that's changed, but you're saying you notice the league is allowing defensive players to be more physical. And I'm not saying you're wrong, but it's not something I've really been thinking about. Interesting. Thanks, Nick. Chris is next. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
Yep.
So I think on defense, I would agree. I think, the increase in just using two, maybe three safeties over the top, I think is noticeable, and it's been pretty well documented. But also, you know, it's not just man or zone anymore. Like, there's those combination teams where,
right.
And so I think that's part of it. But I wonder, as you were talking about this, you know, more and more quarterbacks, they're not all obviously Josh Allen or Lamar, but more and more quarterbacks can make things happen with their legs and, you know, getting outside the tackle box or just creating from inside the pocket. That coupled with what I've noticed, which I think, and I don't have data to back this up, and it's too early anyway, I think, but in flipping around Sunday, I think the defenses, they may be more physical, but they're not as aggressive. Like, I don't see a lot of, especially in down and distance, like, they're backing off the line. There's not as much blitzing. You might have a guy coming from, like, the corner, but
No, they're waiting for the quarterback to get out. That's right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So that's kind of what, I mean, I don't know if it'll prove, you know, over, it's a small sample size for this year, but I do know this. Whatever, if it does continue, it's a copycat league. So, like, if the Bills are able to continue to win with, you know, this makeup that they have on offense, then I think other teams will follow suit. The problem is that the good teams can do it early. Then teams lag behind, right? And then it's like there's this delay, right? Because then you have to draft certain players that serve certain roles. Then by the time you get the makeup that you want to, you know, address whatever offenses are most common, then the pendulum seems to switch or swing the other way.
Mm-hmm,
so
yeah.
You're always playing catch up, you know? So
well,
I hope that the Bills...
Chris, the Bills are maybe in a great spot then for this year. Right? I mean, thank you. Really good. This year for me was, I want to make the playoffs. Jets are better. Miami's pretty good. I lost all these guys. Tough schedule. Transition year. Just get in. How has it started? You know, Kansas City has squeaked out two wins. They're still like top of the heap. And maybe Houston's as good. But then it's the Bills, the Ravens are 0-2, the Bengals are 0-2, the Dolphins are really in trouble, the Jets have not looked that good, and you might just be built right for this season. And Chris is talking about adapting through the draft and off seasons. Well, that's going to have to wait for other teams. I think, you know, this means nothing to like the actual Bills, but just for our conversations, I think it's reasonable to be thinking about the one seed again. And maybe you always have been. It's, you know, a lot of people kind of scoff at, what are we talking about? Like, the season's just starting. Of course you want to be optimistic. But, you know, analytically, to me, like the odds reflected this. That was a very tough, much tougher, you know, task for the Bills this year, it seemed. And the way it started, I mean, the schedule, I'm not taking Monday night for granted. I think that's kind of a sneaky, tough spot there, but then it's the Ravens who are troubled, Houston, the Jets. Like, get through, lose one game of these next four, and you were in pretty good shape. And the Chiefs, we did this yesterday with their schedule. The Chargers maybe are interesting, even the Raiders. Atlanta, New Orleans, they play in week five. It's just great and wild and fun how it tips. And the schedule, you know, quality of competition, style of play already. I mean, I guess somebody could have seen all that coming. But that has been beyond me. And I just love how changeable everything is and how interesting it is. Thanks again, Chris and Nick. Lines are open, 803-0550. What do you think is happening? 803-0550. What do you think is happening in the NFL? Guests 4:30 and 5, including Paul and Sal. Mike Shope here. Bulldog is out sick. This is WGR.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.